we don't always take time to talk about that. We talk a little bit about the resurrection on Easter Sunday, but the resurrection has a lot of depth for us as Christians. It has a lot of meaning to us. It is a full understanding of what salvation is all about is found in the resurrection. This particular painting is called the Agnus Dei. It was painted in 1640. It's one of the most startling and powerful paintings about the atonement, the substitutionary atonement that I think has ever been done. It grabs you with the power of that particular thought. It was done by Francisco de Barrain. It is a powerful statement, and it's named after a particular chant that was part of the early Christian community. The chant was originally developed in the late 600s. It's called the Agnus Dei, and it is a chant that follows John chapter 1, verse 36, where it talks about Jesus being the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And literally, it's done in Latin, but in English it says, "Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us." And then repeats, "Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us." And then the final refrain is, "Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, grant us peace." And so it's a powerful statement about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on behalf of us. He has given his life for us that we might have life in him. We call this the reality of redemption. Redemption is the substitutionary atonement. Nowhere in the Bible is it more clearly laid out than in Isaiah chapter 53. And that chapter, we quite often as Christians quote the first part of that chapter. We spend a great deal of time talking about that, but the substitutionary atonement is most clearly stated in the last verses of that chapter. Let's look at them together. "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for transgressors." I would like for you to particularly focus on the last phrase in verse 11. "And he shall bear their iniquities." Father, I pray now that you will anoint our ears to hear, our minds to perceive, and our hearts to understand what you would say to us this day. I pray, Father, that you will anoint me, that I will speak the words that your people need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean to be human? Well, here's a commercial about being human.
Humans, some of us are great athletes. Others, not so much. Which is why at Liberty Mutual Insurance, auto policies come with features like new car replacement and guaranteed repairs. See what else comes standard at libertymutual.com. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
Yeah, sometimes we think we're more capable than we are, don't we? I've never had anything like that happen to me, but I'm sure there are people that have. Boy, we really do have kind of extended views of ourselves at times, don't we? There are surprising things in life that are valued very highly in spite of the fact they're made of very little in real substance. This particular picture is of, and you have a picture in your bulletin as well of it, this is a picture of a perfect sphere ice cube. It is dimensionally perfect. You can buy 50 of these online and have them shipped to your house in dry ice for $350. Or if you prefer square cubes, they will send you 50 dimensionally perfect square cubes of purified water for $350, and it'll be packed in dry ice. So there you go. If you want that perfect ice cube, you can have it for $350. If you were to break down my body or your body into basic components, the minerals and things that it's made up of, you would be worth about a buck, and I would be worth about a buck. That's about what our bodies and minerals are worth. If you were to take the trace amount of gold that's in each one of us and tried to collect that, it would take 141,700 bodies to get enough gold to make an ounce. Well, there's some advantage there, Edie. But in truth, we don't have a lot of value, do we, physically? It just isn't there in our physical bodies. There's not a lot of value. You could increase your value if you were to tan your skin and make leather, because leather sells for about 25 cents a square foot. So you could increase your value by about $3.50 to $4. So altogether, you could maybe get $5. Well, you know, $5 is $5 worth of basic products. It's pretty clear that from what we're made up of, that we're not valued for that reason by God. God doesn't value us because of what we are made up of. Nor does he value us because of our great accomplishments. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, Mark Zuckerberg, on down the line, all of them, after they die and turn to dust, will be worth $1. All that wealth and power they have obtained will be distributed to others. They will be worth $1. As much as you're worth. So God doesn't value us based on those things, does he? In fact, when you pay for a gourmet cup of coffee, that coffee is worth more than your body. Psalm 49 tells us that all the wealth we possess is insufficient to purchase our own salvation. The psalmist says, truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. In other words, you and I cannot give God enough to save ourselves. One of the prophets would say, I can't even take my firstborn and sacrifice my firstborn and make up to God for what I owe. My debt of sin is so great that I cannot pay it off. Now, if you're young and healthy, your body might be worth a little bit more because the organs in your body are worth quite a bit. All told, if you were to take all your organs and sell them on the black market for transplant, all the organs in your body are worth about $1.5 million if you're young and healthy. Like me, probably still a buck. But if you're young and healthy, they're worth $1.5 million. The problem is you don't get to enjoy any of that $1.5 million. The most valuable part of your body is your heart. It is worth about just under $700,000 on the black market. That's what that is worth. This pin that I have up here on the PowerPoint is actually worth the same as your body. It's worth $1.5 million approximately. It is gold and platinum, and it is diamond encrusted. So if you want to buy this, go right up and get your credit card out, and you can buy this pin for $1.5 million. In Romans chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says this, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. This painting is an interesting painting. It's a detail from a painting that was made by John van Eyck in 1432. It's part of what's called the Ghent altarpiece. The central painting of that altarpiece is called the Adoration of the Mystic Lamb. And this is a detail from it. During World War II, the painting entire altarpiece was damaged due to bombings. And so they began restoring it in the early 2000s. And they scanned the face of the lamb and discovered that in the 1600s it had been touched up or repainted to look more like a lamb, where when they took and stripped off all those layers of paint, they discovered that instead it had a human face, or had more of a humanized face. And the reason was that the idea of Jan van Eyck was that he wanted to connect with the humanity of Christ. The idea that Christ was human. and was giving himself for us. I thought about the struggle of that decision, of Christ giving himself up for us. We think that was an easy process, but Jesus was a human being in all respects like we are, except one. He never sinned. What the Father asked him to do was to accept the guilt of all of us. Think about all the things that you have done that are bad. I'm weighted enough by the things I've done that are bad. In a moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, the weight of that came upon his shoulders. And he cried out to God the Father, "If you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Verse 44 of Luke tells us that he was in agony in that moment, in a sense of despair. Just like we feel despair with our own failings and our sins, he felt all of that despair at one moment. It just dropped on him. You can understand why he said, "Father, let this pass from me. This is more than I want to deal with." You and I are worth something to God, but we have made ourselves the enemy of God by flaunting his will and flaunting his purpose. Every one of us has. Some of us worse than others, granted, but all of us have. All of us have. In 2003, there was a study done of contract killers, and actually published in an academic magazine. They went and checked, particularly in the UK, but in the United States as well, and they determined that the average contract murder, if you wanted to have a contract murder done, the average cost of that would range between $12,000 and $14,000. We are stunned and horrified by the idea that somebody would put a price on someone else's life. But had you lived in Europe before Christianity, that would have seemed quite normal to you. They had what they called Wehrgeld. That simply means human gold or man gold. Every person in society was assigned a value in gold. If you were a lord or a king, your value was 300 plus times the value of a landless peasant, just a field worker. You were worth 300 plus times what he was worth. If you wanted to kill a peasant, you could. Anytime you wanted to. so long as you had his worth in gold that you could give to his family in payment. You could kill anybody you wanted if you had enough to pay for it. What a horrible, horrible way to live. In 1 Peter, in chapter 1, it says, "And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile way inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Wow. What Peter is saying is that you are so valuable, there is not enough gold on the planet to pay for you. Not enough. Your life is that valuable. That's why when Christianity swept across Europe, it ended the concept of Wehrgeld. And they established the concept of capital punishment. The idea was that if you wantonly killed another human being, your life was forfeit. Why? Because that person's life that you took was of infinite value before God. Their value was equal to your value before God. And if you took their life, your life was forfeit. The community was demanded to fulfill justice. They were charged with bringing justice in the world. They understood that when one human life was taken, all of humanity was degraded by that. That idea of human life as being sacred comes directly from the Christian faith. It comes directly from that concept. Bugsy Siegel is one of the most famous hitmen of all time. He began his career of murder in the early 1920s when he was just a teenager, working for the gangs during the 1920s. When Prohibition came in, the gang wars began. They were bloody and they were terrible and they were awful. It was such a serious matter that the major syndicate families, primarily the Italian and Jewish syndicate families, got together and came up with an agreement between themselves that spread across the nation, giving each one of them a sphere of influence that they controlled. Bugsy had shown himself to be a brutal and cold-blooded killer in his early teens. He went on to become even more brutal. He with another man established what was called Murder Incorporated. It was the enforcement arm of the National Syndicate. They literally planned and killed people for payment by the syndicate. That was their job. In 1939, things became really hot for him. He moved to the West Coast. The syndicate literally sent him to the West Coast, to California, to get the heat off. When he got to Los Angeles, he immediately became involved with the film industry. he began extorting the film magnates for money. He also began controlling the prostitution on the West Coast. He also controlled the illegal gambling on the West Coast. And he also started importing drugs from Mexico into the U.S. He was not a nice guy by any stretch of the imagination. And yet he was very popular. Many of the major film stars of the time counted him as a friend. He was popular in the culture. He was sort of seen as a cavalier bad guy. He was well liked. He was also a man who loved his daughter. He was also a man, surprisingly, that gave generously to charity. Such an unusual man. In 1 Timothy it says, "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." This particular motel is the Flamingo in Las Vegas. Bugsy Siegel is the guy who built the Flamingo, the original Flamingo Motel. In fact, it is his dream and his idea that established the Las Vegas Strip. Las Vegas would not be Las Vegas without Bugsy Siegel. In 1946, he opened the Flamingo. And in 1947, he was brutally killed in his own home in Los Angeles by a hitman. He never enjoyed the fruits of those labors. God, Paul says to Timothy that we will suffer the penalty if we are unrepentant. Not just a penalty in this world, but the penalty in eternity. Without the resurrection, this whole purpose of life is meaningless. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says, "What then can we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." It is God who justifies, not us. It is God. The Adoration of the Mystic Lamb is an interesting painting. In the center of the painting is the altarpiece with Christ the Lamb, and in front of it is the fountain of life given for us. And surrounding that altar and that fountain are all the redeemed of the Lord. The idea that we are redeemed by God's grace. Redemption is not based on your value or my value. It is based on the love of God and the fact that each of us are stamped with the image of God. We are stamped with the image. That is why we're valuable. It's not how much you've accomplished in life. It's not how big or important you are. It's not how much money you have in the bank. It is because you are stamped with the image of God. And you are loved by God. That is what makes you valuable. But how do we know this? We know it because a man went to the cross to die for us. But if that was the end of the story, he would just be another good guy that died a horrible death. Just be another good guy that died a horrible death. Another martyr. But when he stepped out of the grave, he affirmed that he had power over sin, and more importantly, he had power over death. His resurrection is the affirmation that we are redeemed. It is the affirmation of that. Paul would say to the Colossians that we give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and brought us in to the kingdom of his Son. Isn't that neat? We are brought into the kingdom of his Son. Redemption, then, is accomplished through Jesus' death on the cross. But that redemption is made real in us because of the resurrection. Now, you may not be worth more than a buck, and I'm not worth more than a buck, but God moved all of heaven and earth to save me and to save you. So you are of infinite value. You are of infinite value to God. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for valuing me. Thank you for valuing me. In spite of my failings, my errors, my sin, my mistakes, in spite of all those things, you value me. God, I am grateful for that. Praise your name. I am grateful. Praise be your name. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hearts up to him and tell him how good he is? And how grateful you are. Lord Jesus, we are grateful. Thank you, Lamb of God, for taking away the sin of the world. Thank you for in Gethsemane accepting the weight of my sin on your shoulders. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. I do not deserve that grace, but I am so grateful for it. Hallelujah. Praise be your name forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.